The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Shift Podcast on the Cornelia Stephanie Media Network and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Trish Campbell, along with my good friend, Diane McClay, my co-host, and we are so happy you made the choice to spend the next half hour with us. We're going to be talking about independence and what does it really mean to us? What does it mean to us to celebrate it? And what does it mean for our shared humanity? So first, I want to start by introducing something into our show that I wanted to actually do for the first couple shows and then got caught up in the hype of it. And it actually was part of our discussion this week, and it shifted what we were going to talk about, and it was so timely. So I first want to start by honoring the lands that we all settle. If we are not indigenous to them, we are settlers on this land. And for me specifically, I will name today the Anishinaabeg, the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Haudenosaunee, the Huron-Wendat, and the Ojibwe Chippewa. And whether named or unnamed, we honor, both Diane and I honor and hold gratitude for the stewardship that you've held with our Mother Earth and the connection, the sacred connection to the land. And that all is the foundation for why we can come to you today in this way. So I first want to acknowledge that and it's just important to us. And like I said, bringing this, incorporating this into our show is important because we would not have these opportunities had we not, we need to recognize and acknowledge that which came before us. And so I want to start off by, we're talking about independence today, and that all ties in. And maybe, Diane, if you can briefly chime in and say what that means to you, and go for it.
Sure. Everything is, I'm always amazed, first of all, at how timely everything is and how intuitive everything is. You and I actually started our show topic about balance, and we had it all worked out, and we had it pretty much, it was almost nailed to the tree. It was going to be firm. And then you talked about how important it was to create the land acknowledgement, especially around the Canada holiday, the Canada Day, which was yesterday. The American Independence Day is tomorrow. And we just flipped the script and said, talking about independence and what we celebrate and how we celebrate is really, it became very important to both of us. If you can see, I'm outside. I'm literally on the border of Utah and Idaho. For the last 3 days, last 5 days, I've been in Denver, Colorado. And I just wanted to give a call out to the Cherokee and Arapaho nations that were the stewards of that land in Denver, and then to the Paiutes, the Southern Paiutes, the Northwest Band of Shoshone, the Ute tribe, and others that are unnamed, because I am standing in land that used to be owned by them. And I'm living the dream that I have lived. I want to be on the road, be able to travel, do a radio show, and do my writing and do my coaching from the road. And I'm literally on the back end of the rental car with the hood popped up and a sunscreen over it. So I can't help but drive through this beautiful desert country and not think about the stories of the people who came before us. I wonder, when there's a lone monolith out in the middle of the desert, would there have been a band of people, in the shadows of that rock? Would there have been somebody that would have been doing a vision quest? So for me, independence is about being, I'm kind of a word nerd, so I looked it up. It's about not depending on others. It's about self-support and self-government, which I think is important in this modern age. But it's also about freedom from control and freedom from freedom from influence. And what that really means is that we have to rely on our own intuition and our own strengths to step into difficult things and step into things that are challenging for us. Does that kind of cover it?
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a couple things that come up for me with around that and the whole conversation around independence and why we're celebrating it at this time. Because, I mean, I know, you know, you've probably heard in Canada, there's been discoveries of children buried at residential schools, but this has gone on. And so people are, you know, becoming more aware of our actual history before the history that we're celebrating, whether it's Canada Day or the 4th of July. And so it's gone unacknowledged for so long. And so it doesn't really feel right to be celebrating something if we're not acknowledging what came before it. And in celebrating that, there's been a sort of erasure of people and their culture. And I think this is why, another reason why we wanted to talk about it too, is because that culture and that connection to the land is like what, I mean, we're all kind of like naturally coming back to. I mean, you and I both have this nature connection with, you know, connection to nature, but it's about not just taking from the land, but giving back. And I think that the indigenous peoples of this land, I mean, they, in their stewardship, they model that, and that has been suppressed over, you know, so many years. And now it's, you know, it's, and for us to go and celebrate a holiday that really was basically their suppression or their oppression is, you know, it's something that it's not to take away. There's a place for the celebration in our history. It's not to take away from our opportunities that we have, because we're all grateful for all the opportunities, but that comes at a price, and it's not a sacrifice. It's like, it is oppression, and it's not part of our history. It's part of our current reality. It's still ongoing. So that's why I felt like it was important to acknowledge that, because as we celebrate our independence, there's an irony there around, another word there, around that celebration, because, right. You know, because we're celebrating, you know, we threw off colonizers to come to this land, and then we're coming to this land to then colonize, and then we're celebrating that, but then we're not inclusive of all the people of the land. And I think there's so much wisdom there for us to learn. And this is why we have this show, The Shift. We're talking about our shared humanity, our connection to one another. And this all ties into that. And it's not about, you know, you and I had a discussion around that before, and it's not about like, you know, it's not about shaming or whatever, but we talked about something about, and you brought up a good point about like when we were younger, how we, you know, kind of were fed information and we just accepted it. Do you want to like elaborate on that a little bit?
And I want to go back to a couple of things.
Okay.
One, I want to bring in what you talked to me about, which was being in integrity with ourselves. And I think there's a big difference between having integrity and being in relationship with integrity. Being in, you know, relationships take work, and it takes a give and a take, and we have to learn to be in a relationship with someone else. So I like to say that I'm in a relationship with integrity, not just having it. But you specifically shared with me that you felt like you would be out of your spiritual integrity if we didn't make this land acknowledgement as a part of our show, and if we didn't take advantage of the opportunity that we have Canada Day and the 4th of July holiday. So it's not just about spiritual integrity, but you and I are both very deeply connected to the land. To me, it's about integrity for the earth. And it's about integrity of being stewards. So I really want to point out that there's different layers of integrity that you and I have brought to this. And to be clear, we are absolutely not in any way, as two white women who have, you know, been ancestors of settlers, we are not saying we are the experts. We're not saying we know everything. We're not even saying that everything that we think is the right or only way. We just have increased our awareness. And I want to thank you, Trish, because it was kind of, this land acknowledgement was sort of somewhere out in my periphery, kind of like the sagebrush behind me, but it was never really, I never really paid attention to it. I never really thought I needed to. And you said to me, Diane, this is really important to me. Mm-hmm. And when you said that, I asked you to explain to me why it was important, which you covered in your introduction. And then I said, well, why don't we just go for it? And what I've realized is, since you brought it up to my attention a week ago, it's only made my trip from my driving trip from Denver up through Wyoming, up through Utah, up through Idaho, and then across Idaho into Oregon, Washington. Mm-hmm. It's like I see the land differently.
Right.
And I feel like my heart is carrying a different energy because I've increased my awareness.
Right. And that's
that real quick.
Yeah. And so to your point, yeah, we're not coming across as experts by any means. And that's, but we're having the discussions because I think we need to have these discussions and we need to talk about it. And it's about us understanding, like you said, like as you're traveling, what is the history of those lands? Like how, what is our connection to that land? What is the historical significance and how can we expand our awareness around just like our connection to the earth, our connection to one another. And it's about going back to what I think we were leading into before, you know, especially, I mean, from my own personal experience growing up, I think I mentioned this on and one of our other shows that I wasn't a person to question a lot of things. And I think a lot of us, when we're younger, we are afraid to question. So we just accept and we take on beliefs that maybe, you know, we're just like, this is just the way that it is. And then as we get older and have more experiences, we expand our awareness. And I mean, this is what our human experience is about, is, you know, expanding our awareness, and that it then increases our connection to one another. So it's about, I think as we get older, we kind of have a different perspective, and then we can say, hey, wait a minute, maybe this isn't the full truth. You know, maybe there's a broader truth to be uncovered and to understand. And so for me, that is, you know, I've been having this in my awareness for a few years now, and it is important to me to acknowledge how we got here. And that is like the foundation of the work that we're doing. And if I'm out of integrity with that, I don't feel good. So I don't feel good about celebrating something when we're not including the full broader truth of that history. And so I think, I mean, this was like so timely, and I'm so grateful that, you know, you were willing to go here with this conversation. Like I said, we want to be having these conversations with our friends and families, and like this is only helping us grow. It's not to take away from anything that got us here or any part of our history of, you know, or our right. personal story. So I don't know if you want to, if there's, you know, anything.
I want to tag in on that. Yeah, I do. Because as I'm traveling, you know, and now that COVID is allowing, you know, the recession of COVID is allowing more and more travel, anywhere you go, you're going to see a sign that says, here's what happened here. Mm-hmm. Right? Somebody has taken the time to write a story about what happened, whether it's a town that was getting built or a railroad or the history of the people. But the thing I want to encourage our listeners is, just because you read that one sign, it doesn't mean that that's the only story that needs to be told or could be told. And then it's not the only version of that same story. So when you look at a historical monument and it commemorates somebody or something that happened on that spot, that is that history's version of what happened to that event. But if we don't make an effort to ask the question, what other stories could be told, or where else could I get more information, or what is the other side? You know, we talk about the Transcontinental Railroad coming across, but we don't really talk about the displaced indigenous people that got pushed out by that. So I would challenge our listeners that when they go on vacation, and not just for Independence Day or Canada Day, but when they go on vacation and they read a sign, really challenge themselves and to say, is this true? Not that it's false, but what I mean is there another version of the story that could give a bigger, more broader picture of the whole human story in that area, right? That's what I would challenge people to do.
Yeah, and I think that is part of like, and that is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that self-inquiry and that reflection and trying to understand something deeper than what we've always known. And just, I mean, that's the broader picture here, is just understanding, just, you know, daring to go there and understand that maybe what we thought all along wasn't the full truth. And this is how we shift, is to open ourselves up to that possibility in the first place. So, and
I'll give you an example of that if you want, of something that my awareness popped
up. Yeah.
So you and I were talking about these different awarenesses and different stories. And I remember being a kid, and somehow, I don't know why it's important to know what George Washington's teeth were made out of, but the history books tell us it's important that we know that George Washington, first president of the United States, had wooden teeth. Well, when a lot of information was coming out about Black Lives Matter, I saw something on Facebook, and to be clear, Facebook isn't the truth of everything,
right?
But it caused me to question, and then I looked it up. George Washington's teeth were actually not made out of wood. They were actually made from teeth from slaves. And that's not taught in our history book.
Right.
And when I read that fact, I was like, what? No, that can't be. That's ridiculous. That wouldn't happen in our world.
Right.
Right. And I'm 52 years old. And a month ago, I learned a little bit different version of the story that my grade school, middle school, high school history books taught me.
Right.
Right. It doesn't mean that history, that perception of the history is wrong. It just means maybe some other information may have been omitted, either because people didn't know or it was too uncomfortable to say.
Right. And I think, I mean, that's not the only story. There's so many that are being uncovered now. We hear a lot about, you know, just like you said, one side of that. And I know for myself, like, I didn't ever learn about the Juneteenth holiday. And that's just been something that's come into my awareness in the last year in a bit. And so it's understanding that it's not to erase the parts that we were taught, but to put the fuller, the broader, like we said, the broader truth to that together. And the reason for that is, I think, the reason why I think it's important is to, human connection is important. I mean, that's why we're here. We're here to connect. We're also here. We're connected to everything. Everything is energy. We're connected to the land. And I feel like we've been pulled away from that connection. And so having this awareness is bringing us back to, at least for myself, I found through my own experience, reconnection with the land, over the last few years, but also understanding that there's wisdom to be held there, to be gleaned from that, you know, we've never really been taught, on a broader scale. And I think, I mean, and then we have our own experiences too. And I know you shared with me one of yours, which was like so amazing. So I'm hoping you want to share that today, your story about the turtle.
Yeah, I would. And since I'm back out in the desert again, you know, for me, when I'm on or near the water, I feel my soul feels replenished. Mm-hmm. When I am in the desert, I feel just totally reconnected to the earth. So a while ago, I had a really unique opportunity to do a lot of mapping in the California wilderness area. And the biologist who was there was a Navajo Indian. And you talked about taking from the land and then not replenishing it. And the story is, I was out and my job was to survey and protect and look for endangered animals and anything of a human encroachment that could negatively impact the wilderness study area, the wilderness study designation. And I'd been driving for 4 or 5 hours and I come up through this big rocky, sandy wash. And this is desert tortoise habitat. And they were endangered at the time. And I'm trying to go slow, but I'm going up the hill and I can't really control where the truck is going. And all of a sudden I hear this dreadful crack. And instantly my heart sank. I felt this pit in my stomach. And it turns out that I had actually run over a tortoise. Mm-hmm. And I was so devastated. I felt like I had taken something that wasn't mine to take. Here I am, I'm supposed to be a steward and I wasn't being a steward. And in the desert, you know that water is life. So I felt disgusted with my action, but I wasn't more careful. I felt shame. I felt guilt for taking this life that wasn't mine to take. And I was about 3 hours from the office. So the first thing I did is I dug a hole and I buried it. And then I gave the desert all of my water. I felt like I needed to give penance to the earth for taking one of her creatures. And then I buried my pocket knife. So in the desert, a knife and water are the two things that keep you alive. And I felt kind of shameful about that I didn't do a better job. I drove back to the office, I GPSed the location, and the biologist who was Native American, first of all, said a prayer for the departed animal, which was it kind of released a lot of pain from my soul. But then she said, if you know where the animal is, you can dig it up and bring it back to the Bureau of Land Management office, because desert tortoises are very subjective to human diseases. So people pick them up thinking that they're misplaced or they want to take a picture with them. If you have a cold or a virus, the turtle can get it, and it should not be released back into the wild because it can spread it to the endangered population. So fast forward on the story, I went back to the desert. I had the the intuition to bury it. If I didn't, a desert predator would have taken off, would have gone off with it, and we never would have had this closure. But I was able to bring it to the Bureau of Land Management office, where turtles who could not be released to the wild would actually be able to get nutrients from the shell, vitamins and nutrients, which sustains that part of life. And my point to that story is not, I got connected to the animal and the land, but there was an indigenous person who had a different belief system than I did that allowed me to be a steward in a different way.
Does that cover
the story that I shared with you?
And I think there's something to be said there, and I touched on it briefly before, but this is why we're having the conversation, is because to open up to the awareness that, like, it's not just to always take from the land, like, when, you know, it's to give back. And so you learned, I mean, you thought you did what you thought you were supposed to do, and then when you learned something different, then you did that. And I think that there's so many wisdoms that have been suppressed. And so it's opening ourselves up to the awareness, or to understanding and bridging connection with the indigenous peoples, and understanding that there is so much for us to learn. Just for myself, in my own experience, learning about their intentional imperfection, the spirit line that you speak of, the Navajo, and that they weave through. And we've talked about this before, I think, like that they weave through their tapestries, like a line of imperfection, and it allows the soul to enter and then exit the piece. Number one, so that the soul, like, so that the artist can then go and create some more, so that they're not locked into that. But it's also the intentional imperfection, because there's only one source of perfection, and that is the creator. So it's coming back to opening ourselves up to learning something, to building on what we know and getting that broader truth. And we only expand and grow when we do that. And, you know, if we are open to it. So I don't know if there's anything else you want to tie in there.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
That's okay.
You know that choice and courage are too important. Choice and courage are two important words to me, right?
Yes.
So I think in this instance, when we're talking about freedom and independence and what do we celebrate, and trying to have an awareness of other parts of the story, I think the first thing is we have to have the courage to go look for the other information. I think we have to say whatever is being presented to me is not the whole story. Mm-hmm. And then I think we have to make a choice to actually pursue it and take it in and integrate the knowledge. You don't have to necessarily agree or like what the other part of the story says, but I think you're not in relationship with integrity if you choose to ignore it, or if you don't choose to engage it. Would you agree?
I agree. And I mean, I think that is the main reason why we wanted to have this conversation, is to have the awareness that there might be something alternative, truth-wise, for us to learn, and to be, to have the courage to ask the questions, and not out of criticism or anything like that, but just out of curiosity. I think there, you know, the more curious we are, the more it helps us expand, and to hear other stories told from other perspectives. I mean, that's why we're here. You know, perspective and our power to change. I mean, opening ourselves up to that is how we make the shift to grow and expand and make change in our life. So, were you going to jump in?
Oh, I was just going to say, in the last few minutes that we have left, the one thing I would also encourage our listeners to do is, if you don't know what we're talking about land acknowledgement, just Google it. I looked it up, and there was an article that came up about a university campus in Denver that incorporated the indigenous tribes when they dedicated a new building. So it's not a new concept. It's just not talked about in the mainstream media. So look up land acknowledgement, look up your region, or look up an area you're passing through, and educate yourself about what it is we're talking about, and see if anything resonates.
Yeah.
And then last words from you, Trish, close us out.
Okay. And I will add to that, there is also a course from the University of Alberta that's offered. It's free online course. University of Alberta, I've taken the one at University of British Columbia before on Indigenous peoples, and it's not just Canada, it's the US. They cover around the world Indigenous people. So last words are, I will just say that this begins and ends with us making this shift. It all begins and ends with us making the change. We can't wait for the government or anybody else to do it. We need to, you know, to do this within ourselves. So, yeah, the shift starts now.
It does start now. So quick call to action. Whether you liked or disliked what Trish and I had to say today, if you're in the United States, I'd ask you to text me 503-317-8072. Just put a land agreement and then let's open up a conversation. Whether you disagree or whether you agree, I want to know if you heard it. I want to know if anything landed with you. And I want to know if anything encourages you to take a different action. I'm Diane McClay. You can find me at DianeMcClay.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Trish, how can they find you before we close out for today?
Invibe.ca. You can also contact me there too and let me know how this show resonates with you as well. Thank you so much.
All right. It begins and ends with us. We're with you the whole entire way. I'm Diane McClay. This is Trish Campbell, and this is The Shift Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to The Shift Podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift Podcast. The first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or DianeMcClay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.